Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. The songwriter is referring to, as we speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, where you're singing and making grace and melody in our hearts to the Lord. And a songwriter is also referring to the power of prayer. And so a spiritual blessing that Christians have as we talk to the Father in Jesus' name, because Jesus made it all possible. He gives us access as we talk about being a great high priest. You know, you look at the Old Testament pattern, and when you hear a song like that, you just think back to where the priest would go into on a regular basis, rendering service to the Lord, but then only the high priest once a year. And you think about what people celebrate today ceremoniously. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, in the very presence of God. Now, what does that mean to us today? Because we as priests, as Christians, we're priests. And we go through our great high priest, Jesus Christ, to get access to the Almighty God. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. We pray by his authority. But that's something, and so that's why as we think about our lesson today and as we think about what it is we want to do today, we want to just remind ourselves and be reminded through God's word that his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. To our visiting friends, thank you for being with us today. Welcome to the Church of Christ that meets on Miami Gardens Drive. Certainly, you are a welcome guest. You're honored guests. We're happy you are here. And we most importantly, we hope, trust, and pray that if something is said that you do not understand, ask your question. We want you to understand salvation. We want you to understand the simplicity of God's word. And that's why we are here, to worship the God, our Father in heaven, through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, in a spiritual manner based on the standard of truth. So what you will hear today from this pulpit, we have brothers that will read certain scriptures just to emphasize, not to distract, but to emphasize as we teach God's word today. So we would ask that if you haven't done so already, it sounds better now, but please silence all electronic devices. We don't want any distraction. You need help, you don't know how to turn it off, we'll have a brother help you turn it off or put it on silence. We want to be focused on God's word today. Amen? Amen means truly it is so. It is not for me. Amen means truly it is so. If I say God is good, you can say amen or you can just say nothing. You can just nod your head. It is nothing is required. Nothing is required. But obedience, respect, reverence, and decorum for God. I want to be clear on that. So if I say amen, I'm saying it because, you know, sometimes something's so good, it's like, amen. Have you ever eaten some good food and you're like, this is good? You're talking to yourself. You don't sit up in a restaurant and say, this is the best shrimp I've ever had. Maybe you do that. I don't do that. But you say, this is good. Amen is just that. Truly, it is so. And we're going to tell you the truth today. And I say that boldly, not because I'm all that. No, I'm just a messenger. Because the Bible is all that. God is all of that. He's everything we need. See, we serve a God that is omnipotent, all-powerful. We serve a God that is omniscient, all-knowing. We serve a God that's omnipresent everywhere. He's all that. And so having said that, let's go to our lesson text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Please turn your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 9 just to set the stage. We're going to pivot from that as we go through our lesson. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is 9. As was read in your hearing this morning, we thank all the brethren who have served thus far. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Bible records. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. From these verses and from this verse and perhaps others, we want to speak this morning on the subject, my grace is sufficient. Three key points today we want to make. Three key points. The reality of suffering, something that people struggle with. The reality of suffering. We'll also touch on the fact that this thorn in the flesh. You can read a whole lot of things about the thorn. What is it? What is the thorn? I want to know what the thorn is. Thorn in the flesh. We're going to talk about that. And then our main point is his grace is sufficient. And so let's start off with just the reality of suffering. And I don't need to ask any of you if you've ever suffered. If you haven't, keep on living. See, all those people that said amen, they've gone through something. Those that are saying, I've lived a pretty stress-free life, keep on living. We're not saying that in any, we're not trying to, press you or anything, but just keep living because it's coming. And again, suffering, as we said last week, I don't know when the last time you thank God, Lord, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to suffer. See, that goes against our human nature. But spiritually, as we mature, you're going to appreciate suffering. Let me say that again. The test, the mark, the indicator of my maturity and yours is how we handle suffering. You show me somebody that falls out, can give everybody else advice, but can't handle anything. That ain't maturation. That's overcompensation. Psychological term, which means basically I'm going to do more and more and more for everybody else. But if something comes down my street, keep it personal. I'm going to keep it personal with me. You make it personal. When something comes down your street, how do you handle that? Are you coachable? Amen, walls and lights. See, there is a test. See, it's easy to be on, if somebody is sinking in water and I'm on dry land, I'm pretty good. I can lend a hand, grab something a little longer, because I may not be able to swim myself, but I can lend a hand. I can pull you to safety, and I've helped someone else. But I want us to be introspective today, as Paul was in the text, thinking about suffering. So let me just give you this. Brothers, Matthew chapter 5 in verse 45. Let me say this. Christians suffer and non-Christians suffer. Everybody in the world will suffer. I won't exhaust it scripturally, but I'll give you three scriptures. I'm going to start with the most global one when Jesus had this to say. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. I'll put him even on the screen for your reference. But I want you to make sure you write it down or take good notes or lock it in. Everybody's going to suffer. Read.
That he may be the children of your father.
That ye may be the children of your father.
Which is in heaven.
Which is in heaven.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good.
Come on.
And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
So that ye may be the children of your father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. When it's, when that sun is shining today, it's not like the sun is only for Christians. Now, keep in mind, the temperature has gone up recently, hasn't it? We out of these little wintry days, and now we're back to our normal. It's going to be a hot summer. It's still technically, I think, spring. No, it's March. It's still like the latter part of winter. Can't you tell? It's going to be 90 today. So my point is the sun that rises. And so again, when you think about the warmth and God allows the sun to rise in the evil and the good. And he makes it rain on the just and the unjust. So people say bad things happen to bad people. No, life's going to happen to all of us. There's your scriptural reference. They take the sunshine and the rain to make the flowers bloom, technically. So don't just, Lord, oh, it's too hot. Then you're praying for rain. What do you want? How you want it? My point is sometimes man is never satisfied. So let us be mindful of the fact. Thank God for the sunshine. Thank God for the rain. Because without the rain, without the sunshine, we would not eat. It's basic agriculture. So thank you, Lord, for whatever you send my way. So now the reality of suffering. So one, it rains in the just and the unjust. He brings a sun on the evil and the good. I hope we get that contextually. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. Now, well, let's pivot from just all mankind to Christians. Saints, please listen to this. If you choose to live godly, it's going to come. Read. 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Go ahead and read.
Ye and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
So Paul is saying, and that word yea means yes, definitively. Yea, and all that will live godly where? In Christ Jesus might?
Shall.
Maybe? Just luck, coincidentally? No. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, brother?
Shall suffer.
Shall. You will suffer persecution. So people would say, it was better. I've heard people say, make these foolish statements. Well, before I became a Christian, things were better. What was better? There's nothing better than being a child of God. There's nothing better than serving God. And with that comes responsibility. With that comes persecution. Oftentimes, I was in a meeting last week, and someone mentioned the fact that in a meeting not so long ago, you know, leadership is lonely. And I tell people all the time, I signed up for this. Rick signed up for it. Our deacon signed up for it. We say signed up. You willingly, you know, choose to serve in a capacity. And having said that, if you're going to lead your family brothers, you get married, you got to be, you signed up for that. Amen, brethren. That means you got to lead your household. That means you got to be firm sometimes. You got to listen all the time. You catch that second part? You got to listen all the time. It's funny how y'all listen to certain things. Y'all catch certain little things I say in this pulpit. But again, when you think about just being a child of God means we have to suffer. So it's not a matter of if you will suffer, it's when. So there's a mindset that we must have. We have to go through to get to. So we know that rains on the just and the unjust, sunrise on the evil and the good. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, Peter says, choose how you plan this. If you're going to suffer, you might as well make the right choice on where and how you suffer. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 15. It's cut off on the screen here a little bit, so I'll go ahead and go to my book as well. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to pick up at verse 15. It is cut off at the bottom. My apologies for that. A little typographical error on my part, not the engineers. Never blame the engineers because they can hit buttons and turn me all the way off. So I'm going to be wise. 1 Peter chapter 4. He's going to join Jordan. He's probably going to fix it before I even get to it. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. Watch him work his magic. I'm just doing that on purpose. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. What does the Bible say?
But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. See, you can suffer for all of those things. If you choose to murder, there's correctional consequences. You can even lose your life. You steal stuff, that you take things that don't belong to you, you can suffer as a thief. We all get that, right? Or as an evildoer, you can suffer for doing evil. And if you're just a busybody, you know, y'all know what a busybody is? You got to know where everything else is going on. Gossipers are related to busybody because gossip, by definition, is you're telling things that may not pertain to you, but you got to tell somebody else. No one here has ever gossiped. I had to scan the audience quickly before anybody just did that little duck. See, that's what it's all about. See, you suffer for all of that. Murmuring, complaining, gossiping. There's Old Testament patterns for that. God was not pleased with that. Even to the point when Jesus says, why do you think evil in your heart? See, well, I didn't say anything out loud, but you thought it. You thought it. Don't think ill of anyone. If you have issues with something, it's better just to say it and then move on. That helps your sanity. And so we recognize the reality. So look at Jordan showing off now. The reality of suffering. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thank you, son, as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, here we go, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. We will suffer as Christians, but it's nothing to be ashamed about. Because people will poke at you. Oh, people will just try to press your button. Oh, goody two shoes. Oh, you said, oh, what do you do? What do Christians do when you get mad? We still fall short. Be honest with people. Amen. We stay focused. We pray to the Lord. Where's your prayer when all these bad things happen? Where's God now? Where's God? We'll get to that in a minute. Don't be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. I hope you see that. Because see, what Peter is saying is that it's where Paul's going to take us. In the midst of suffering, we can glorify God. How can we glorify God if we just lost a loved one? Thank you, Lord, for the time we had together. Thank you, Lord, for the example that was set. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share the gospel with them. They may not obey it. Thank you, Lord. There's a physical void. There's an emotional void. But we have to be able to thank God through trials. Amen, saints. Y'all, I lost some of y'all on that. We want to thank God only when it's good stuff, when you get a job, when a child is born, when people get married. We only thank God then. That makes us no better than the heathen. As long as I can get something out of it, I glorify God. That's not what Christianity is all about. I'm here to tell you, practically speaking and theologically speaking, if we're to mature, we got to be able to thank God through the trials. I look back at my life and I thank God for this. I can look at various chapters in my life. Look at your own life. Look at the chronology of your own life. Those who messed with you, those who poked at you, unjustly or justly. What have you gone through in your life? Don't say it out loud because it may be too deep. Think about what you've gone through and where you are now. Some of us just came out of a storm. Some are in the midst of a storm. And some are headed for a storm. Those are three categories. And so no matter what state or condition you are in, thank God. I look at our brothers and sisters in Haiti right now. Pray for them. Our brothers and sisters that are in Ukraine. Because we got Christians all over the world. Our brothers and sisters in Bolivia. Our brothers and sisters, no matter where there's strife or conflict or poverty or orphans or widows, people are suffering in this world. And so, saints, all what I'm saying to you is, from a contextual standpoint, Peter is saying, we will suffer. Don't suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as some gossip or a busybody. Yet if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. Why is that important, Peter? For the time has come. Brothers, verse 17, for the time has come. What's going to happen with judgment?
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
So we're going to be judged, so let's live properly. And judgment will begin where? At the house of God. The church has to be judged. Jesus died for the church, but we're members in particular. A Christian can, note it, fall from grace. If Christians couldn't fall from grace, why would there be a need for judgment? 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we're going to be judged based on things we've done in our body, whether it be good or bad. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so as we look at the word of God today, and if judgment be, for the time has come, that judgment must begin at the house of God, read. And if it first began at us, the saints,
what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Why is it important that you obey the gospel today? So you can prepare for judgment. And obeying the gospel, being saved. Salvation is an urgency. It's a necessity. Because if you know you're going to suffer, why not suffer as a child of God? Think about that. If you know you're going to suffer, then be with God. Satan's like, yeah, everybody's going to suffer, but have a good time doing it. And then you can spend the rest of eternity with me. That's Satan's offer. Do we need to go to court again? Let's go. Let's take it to court. So Satan is like, you can do anything you want. Here's your offer. Satan, the salesman, the great deceiver. Nobody's the boss of you. Okay, Satan got one of them. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Okay. No one's a boss of you. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it. Nobody can tell me anything. I'm judge and jury. I'm going to have a good time to the day I die. Thank y'all for not saying amen. That's a risk. That's Satan's offer. God's like, you will suffer, but you will glorify me. You will not look like, sound like, act like the world. You need to be distinctive. You need to be peculiar. You are my prized possession. But all of you in this world can be my child, but you must submit to my son. Not through a sinner's prayer, not through just laying your hand on a Bible or looking the part. Because the world is going to say to you, you know what? You got to just look holy. People are like, well, I put a cross on my body. That doesn't make you holy. That makes you worldly. So Peter says, if any man suffers, Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf. I got to move on from suffering. Everybody could. So we have a choice to make. Ultimately. And so now we got to get into the meat of the lesson. Let's talk about Paul. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to go over there because we need to give you some context. 2 Corinthians 12. Oh, Paul said, you know what? I could boast on a lot of things, but it wouldn't be helpful for me. Let me say that again. Paul said, I could really do some boasting because God showed me some stuff that is pretty deep. Now, we've talked about the third heaven. We just sang the song. I love it, Ricky. I'm going to say Brother Ricky, but that's nephew. So I love you, Ricky. You did a great job. There is beyond the azure blue, a God concealed from human sight. We just sang that song. So you look up in it, you look on a beautiful day like today, no 0% chance of precipitation. I'm not a weatherman. I'm just play one on TV. But bottom line is this, watch this. So you have the sky, you have the heavens, second heaven. Then beyond that is God. So the third heaven. Now, why do I say that to you? 2 Corinthians 12. Let's look at verse 1. You're like, why does he mention third heaven in the context of suffering? Because Paul is saying to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. I'll drive for a minute, brother. Wait for me at verse 7. Paul says, it's not expedient. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 12 and 1. Well, make sure you're with me now. You're going to get to third heaven in a minute. It is not expedient or helpful for me doubtless to glory. Paul is saying, it's not helpful for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I'll show you. I'll share with you briefly what God allowed me to see. Revelation is something that was revealed, hence revelation. God showed me something. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. People are like, tell me more. Paul, this is all Paul gives us. And he says in verse 3, and I knew of such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell God nor how that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul said, I could boast about all of this. Verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul says, I could boast on things God has allowed me to see. And if you say, Brother Nelson, what does the third heaven look like? I don't know. I've never been there. The Bible lets us know some things that, it gives us indications. But the key is we walk by faith. As we think about what Paul is saying, he said, I'm not going to glory in the things that God has allowed me to see. I will glory in my what? Infirmities. I'll get ahead of myself for a minute. You'll see the definition on the screen in a minute, but I'll tell you what an infirmity means, since it's the first time you've seen it here in this lesson. An infirmity, the Greek word, by definition, an infirmity is a frailty, a weakness, a sickness, or a disease. Get that. The word infirmity. So when you think about a military context, you're going to put them in the infirmary. They don't put somebody in the infirmary because they just, because they're feeling so good. Doc, can you put me in the infirmary? No, those are where the sick people are. They need healing. So Paul is saying, I won't glory in the fact that, God allowed me to see these incredible revelations, but I will glory in my weakness, my frailty, my sickness or disease. Amen. Verse number 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. We can gain status in this world. We can have access to a lot of things. Keep your feet on the ground. Stay humble. Stay humble. Paul is saying, people have heard of me. Was that the one? Can you imagine, again, formerly Saul, persecuted the church. And now he's a brother in Christ. Would anybody gossip, I wonder, in Miami Gardens? So what was it like? You Mr. Persecutor, brother persecutor. Paul is like, people have heard of me. God's allowed me to see things. I won't boast about any of that. That's not helpful for me. But I'd rather glory in my infirmities. But here we go. Verse 7. Here we go. And so go ahead and read.
And lest I should be exalted above measure.
And lest I should be exalted above measure. I don't need to be exalted. Read.
Through the abundance of the revelation.
Through the abundance of the revelation, plural, because God allowed him to see many things.
There was given to me a thorn.
There was given to me
a thorn.
Wait a minute now. I didn't ask for this. It's not helpful for me to boast. I can talk about a lot of things, the revelations, plural, that God allowed me to see. But I'm going to rather glory in my infirmities, frailty, weakness, sickness, or disease. There was given to me a what?
thorn.
A thorn where?
In the flesh.
A thorn in the flesh. A thorn is that which is exceedingly painful. There was given to me to make sure I don't get too big for my britches. And that's an old school term grandmama used to use. I don't know if everybody understands that. Getting too big for your britches. Prideful. Egotistical. High-minded. Some other theological terms for you. Conceited. One that's full of him or herself. Paul said to make sure I was given a thorn in the flesh. Come on, what was it?
The messenger of Satan.
The messenger of Satan.
To buffet me.
To buffet me. So that word, to get Lenny hungry. To buffet me. Now, that word, take it easy. That word buffet means, translate the Greek word, to hit or slap. Anyone here ever been slapped? Oh, no. Somebody had some slappers in here. I forgot. Wrong audience. Sorry. Forget. So there was a thorn given. There was a thorn given to me. To buffet me, literally, to keep me humble. Lord have mercy. Lest I should what?
Be exalted above measure.
Lest I should be exalted, lifted up above measure. Paul didn't ask for this, but Paul wanted relief. Prove that. Read.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice.
Not once. Not twice. Paul says, three times I went to God. Can you remove this? Can you remove this? Can you remove this? I besought, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it what?
Might depart from me.
That it might depart from me. So now people ask the question all the time. And saints, it's very clear when we study the Bible, it's very important when we study God's word, we keep things contextual. Don't try to go beyond. Don't fall short and don't go beyond. So people are like, well, what was the thorn? The Bible doesn't tell us. But now there's some inferences in this, and Paul gives us some indicators. See, Paul went through a lot. So we know whatever it was, Paul wanted relief. We have that in context. I besought the Lord three times that it would depart from me. Amen. Whatever the thorn was specifically, Paul wanted it to go away. I besought the Lord thrice that it should depart from me. That means three times I asked God, please take it away. You ever prayed that something would go away? Maybe some of y'all prayed that someone would go away, but nevertheless, Paul's like, I need relief. So the Bible does not tell us specifically what the thorn was. And there's many Bible scholars, I put that in quotes, that would say, well, it was a physical disorder. There's some context on that, but it doesn't tell us specifically. And I'll give you. We're going to take it to Galatians 4 in a minute, because Paul is very explicit. As I studied this, I was like, I never noticed that, because Paul gives you some indicators. But we do know that Paul suffered many things. But he said, the thorn in my flesh. And keep in mind, if you go through some things, you hurt emotionally. That's still in your flesh. You ever gone through some kind of calamity, or maybe it was a job search or disappointment in a relationship or anything? It hurts all over, doesn't it? So a couple of things here on Paul. Paul suffered persecution. We'll go through some of these rather quickly. He suffered persecution. He clearly had physical infirmities. I'm going to take a few verses in Galatians 4. And maybe even Paul even had, some say, an eye disorder, because Paul makes reference to something. And when I study this, I'm going to say it straight up. It's like, wow. So watch this. Paul's sufferings, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30, very for time's sake. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Paul said, I risk my life all the time. My life was in danger on and often. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. I got whooped five times with 39 stripes, 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice or three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. How's your day going? We wake up mad. Paul was like, anybody ever a death threat? This is what Paul had to go through. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. fear of being not only killed, but fear not only where I was just being just out in the open, out in the deep, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, the risk of being robbed, in perils by my own countrymen, betrayal, in perils by the heathen, they're going against me because of my stance in Christ, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. How's your day going? In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Let's be mindful about what we complain about. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I got to take care of my brothers and sisters. In addition to what I got to go through individually. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not? If I must needs glory. I won't glory in anything. I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Brothers and sisters, this is a perspective. Paul says, I have to go through it, but I will glory in my infirmities. In case you missed it earlier, infirmity. Greek word, there it is, asthenia. The Greek word, feebleness, frailty, weakness, sickness, or disease. Paul said, I will glory in this. Let's pause for a minute. I want to make sure we have your full attention. Is this what we thank God for? You don't have to say anything because I already know where you are because I was here when I studied the lesson. Is this what we thank God for? Our frailty? Or we pray God that we need more strength? Because that's a human thing to do. Let this simmer for a minute. Paul is saying, I've gone through a lot. God allowed me to see a lot. I'll be a fool to boast about what God allowed me to see. Rather, I choose to thank God, to glory in my weakness, in the sickness. If there was an infirmity, that's what I'm giving. Take you to the. I'm not going to Webster. I'm going to the Greek. This is what Paul was thanking God for. And just in case you missed it in Galatians chapter 4, look at what Paul says to the saints. Galatians chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. I got to drive this in, brothers, because I want to hit something. Brethren, I beseech you, I plead with you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You have not hurt me, brethren. But look at the word injured. You have not injured me, brethren. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh, so you haven't hurt me, but you know I have an infirmity of the flesh. You see the text? I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So through, even though I have some frailty, feeble, I'm going to use the Greek words because we don't know what the thorn is. But in my frailty and my weakness and my feebleness and my sickness and or disease, I still preach the gospel. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, I was tempted because, you know, when you're hurting. And I tell you what, when I tore my Achilles and it would really be hard for me at night. I'm giving you a real just again. Thinking about my brief infirmity, my temporary infirmity. I slept on the couch with a cast. I couldn't look at the cast. I'm highly claustrophobic. I would look at that. I looked at the cast one time. I'm just sweating. I'm like, I can't. I would do more harm to myself. I want to cut this thing off. Then don't get an itch. I'm like, I can't. I'm Googling. And I found it said you can use a hair dryer, and I use a hair dryer. I said, "What you doing in there? This got an itch. I can't. It's painful. It affected my mindset." They give you painkiller, and I looked at side effects: hallucination, dizziness, room spinning. I'm like, I got all of them. I said, "Take me off of this stuff. I'd rather deal with the pain." Where's my point? When you are going through something, I don't know if you ever gone through anything with your physical health, or you had a sickness or some kind of disease. It affects your psyche. And Paul is saying, in the midst of my infirmity, I'm going to thank God, not complain. And yet the smallest little thing with us, we're like all bent out of shape. I'm talking about us, pulpit included. So Paul is saying, my temptation, verse 14, revisit, which was in my flesh, ye despise not. You didn't despise me because of my infirmity. Context clues. Nor reject it. You didn't reject me because of my infirmity. But receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. You see what Paul is saying here? You didn't treat me any differently because of whatever it is I was going through. Then he gets even more specific. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's why some infer, I can't conclude anything, these are just inference, that Paul maybe had an eye disorder. I'm not saying that definitively. Do not quote me on that. But my point is, you see the context clue. You would have given me your own eyes. But he says, but regardless of what his infirmity was, we know there was an infirmity, a feebleness, frailty, weakness, sickness, or disease. But Paul is saying, you didn't treat me any differently. You would have given me your own eyes. In other context, I can get you more context on this where Paul says, I wrote in big letters. He said, I wrote in big letters to you. But see, some people are going to go crazy on, I need to know what Paul had. How about you know what Paul did? How Paul thought? Because sometimes we go down these rabbit holes or just, I just got to know. I'm giving you this contextually out loud so that we can see that Paul went through something. Amen. And it hurt him. He suffered, but he chose to thank God. And in the midst of all this pain, temptation, words on the screen, infirmity of the flesh, verse 13, temptation, verse 14, that was in his flesh, they treated him with love and respect. And Paul says, but I still got to tell you the truth. Look at this. Paul says, am I your enemy? Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. He says, I may be frail, feeble, in sickness and or disease. I'm still going to tell you the truth of the gospel. That's powerful. So how do we respond? Let's close out. How do we respond to suffering? These are some of the way the world and man, even sometimes Christians. Why me? I wonder, and please don't respond out loud. I wonder if anyone here has been that, why me? Why am I going through this? Why is my family going through this? It's a natural reaction to suffering. It wasn't Paul's reaction. He said, I'm a glorian. Some people are like, well, where's God now? And this heathen loves poking at Christians. Where's your God now? Your house burned down or something, so you face some calamity, some sickness or death or anything. Where's your God now? The world loves doing, the devil loves, you know, trying to deceive children of God and deceive man. Where's God? How can this be? This is how we respond. How does this happen? Because man is evil. Sin is real. And the devil, and the Bible already said early on, it should be in your notes, it rains on the just and the unjust. Sun rides on the evil and the good. How can this be? Because it's called life. Does God even care for me anymore? Some have left the Lord's church because they went through some stuff. Does God care? God loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten son. I love my wife. I love my kids. One of them soon to be going to the state of Louisiana for school. And we won't be there with them. I can be there in a moment's notice. No, I know people. That was for him. But the bottom line is he's got to live his life. Our kids grow up. They form opinions. Some we like, some we don't like. But we hope, trust, and pray it all comes back to what they've been taught. Amen, parents. But life's going to happen. Every time I drop Alexa off on campus, I say, you want me to walk you to the dorm? I will walk you wherever. Do I need to call some friends and have a helicopter flight? No, Daddy, please depart from me. So our response to suffering, our final point, we talk about the reality of suffering. The thorn in the flesh was an infirmity, was some kind of feebleness, weakness, sickness, disease, frailty. And Paul said, I could boast about a lot of things, but I'm going to thank God and boast in my infirmities. Look at what God allowed me to go through. Not to lift himself up, but I have a constant reminder that I tried to get rid of three times. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. But here we go. Our final point is grace is sufficient. You've heard me say this many times in 20 plus years I've been here. No grace and no mercy. K-N-O-W, not no. Know what grace means. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. His grace is sufficient. We receive something. Ephesians 2, brothers, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you all to turn your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2. Then we're going to Titus chapter 2 in that order. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 8. Then we're going to Titus chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 11. And this lesson will be yours. It's very important we recognize in the midst of suffering, that is a reality for all of us. It's a reality for all humankind, suffering. But let's choose to suffer as a child of God, not as an evildoer, a busybody, a murderer, or as anything like that. Let's suffer as a Christian, and let's not be ashamed. So why is grace so important? Because by grace we're saved. Read Ephesians 2, beginning at verse number 8. Read.
For by grace. Are ye saved through faith?
Are you saved through faith? Let's pause right there. Because people go here and say, yes, yeah, sinner's prayer. No, sir, no, ma'am. See, God gave us something we didn't deserve. By the grace of God, through that agape, unconditional, in spite of you kind of love, God the Father sent his only begotten son. We must have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 6. So by grace, are we saved through faith? Read.
And that not of yourselves.
It's not about us, not of ourselves.
It is the gift of God.
It is the gift of God. Imagine if we could work for salvation. If we could work for salvation and we had a scoreboard, a dashboard. And Miguel is, you know, you see those things like scoreboards where, you know, playing pinball machine. You got the top scores on video games. And Miguel's got like 50 million. And I'm sitting here with like 5,000. He just gave me a thumbs up like, haha, second place. Second place, first loser. Imagine if we had to work for it and we had like a dashboard on salvation. We put it up every Sunday. In third place, the Nelson family. How foolish would that be? And you know what would happen? Whoever's in first place, they come in all dressed alike with number one on their shirts. Here come the Herring family, number one this week. Thank God. You know why that's important? Give me the last. Give me the verse 9.
Not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
God knows what he's doing. There's nothing. We're going to boast. Let's talk about how good God is. Because again, salvation, we're saved by grace. We didn't receive. We were yet sinners. Well, when God sent his son to die for us, Romans 5 and 8, for God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God commended. See, a commendation is something you get when you do something well. See, God commended his love for us. He rewarded us not because of our sin. He gave us the gift of his son. Romans 5, 8, cross-reference Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Thank you, Lord. Why do you call it grace? I don't deserve this. Can you imagine somebody putting a gold medal around you? Say, stand on the top podium. You got 1, 2, and 3. Stand up here. Put a gold medal around your neck. You stand up here. And you are just rotten to the core. So being beneficiaries, recipients of God's grace, we should be like, thank you, but I don't deserve this. That's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So again, remember standing there being crowned. Better yet, forget the gold medal, being crowned. And yet you had a look in your face like I'm trying to make right now, like, I don't deserve any of this. And you treat me like this? That's why it's called agape, unconditional love. You didn't deserve it. But because of God's love, I gave you my son. And through him, you developed faith. Faith is a choice. You are saved. So how does salvation come? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to put on the screen for your benefit as well. I love how some of you are locked in on those Bibles today. Titus 2, verse 11. It means 11 and 12. 11 through 13. What does the Bible say?
For the grace of God.
For the grace of God.
That bringeth salvation.
See, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, because of God's unmerited favor, it's because God's agape love, what we got something we didn't deserve. For by grace are we saved through faith. But now the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, come on.
Hath appeared to all men.
Hath appeared to all men. Everybody has an opportunity to be saved. Thank you, God, for your amazing grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Come on, what does it do?
Teaching us that denying ungodliness
and worldly lust.
We should live soberly.
Righteously.
And godly.
Where?
In this present world.
So again, remember being crowned. Let's go back to the winner's circle. victory lane, if you will. So you have the crown on and you got something you didn't deserve. What does grace do for us? It teaches us. If you've been a dirty, rotten, low-down scoundrel, y'all got all of that? And yet you are crowned. We are crowned. And somebody treats you like royalty. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, that's what grace teaches us. If you didn't deserve it in the first place, be thankful for what you have. That's why Paul is saying, because I persecuted the church, and then God allowed me to see so many things. The majority of the New Testament was written by whom? Saint Paul. So God gave me this privilege, and yet this hurts, whatever it is, emotionally, physically, feebleness, disorder, weakness, disease or sickness. It hurts. Please take it away. Please again. Please again. My grace is sufficient. Amen. So this is Paul writing to Titus here as well. He said, so you know, we're recipients of grace that brought salvation. It teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. But what should we be doing as we go through suffering? Verse 13, read.
Looking for that blessed hope.
Looking for that blessed hope.
And the glorious and appearing, the glorious of, the appearing God,
of the great God.
And our Savior, Jesus Christ.
And our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're still looking. So we look forward to Jesus' return. Christ is coming back again. And brothers and sisters, when Paul asked for that thorn to be removed three times, song leader, come on. And he said unto me, saints, please soak this up. And he said unto me, my grace, you received something you didn't deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. You didn't earn this. You didn't work for this. Quite frankly, you should be dead. Think about the life of Saul. Think about what he did. Think about your life. God is able to save us all. So when we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Internalize this. It's not about the external pain. It's not about the external optics. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, complete, in weakness. See, when people can see what we're going through, and so Paul said, in my infirmity, I had this temptation in the flesh, but I still preach the gospel. Am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, I still press through. So saints, the encouragement today, don't let anything or anybody cause you to stop, to slow down. Keep pressing through. Amen. My strength is made perfect, complete in weakness, most gladly, therefore. So Paul says, so since you put it on me like that, God, most gladly, therefore. Look at the switch. Most gladly, therefore, because your grace is sufficient, because you've taught me to realize that, most gladly, therefore, I will rather choice, glory in my infirmities, that in my weakness, feebleness, sickness, or disease, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now people will see whatever it is I have, whatever it is I'm going through, but they will recognize that God is working with me. Lord, have mercy. Therefore, look at this. He goes another level. Therefore, I take pleasure. I don't think I said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to tear my face. Thank you for allowing me to sit in the dark room. Nighttime was, I would love, sunlight just brought me joy. Nighttime was tough. But as I look back on that, my most recent physical calamity, if you will, let us have some perspective. Lord, thank you. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. When people come at me, I'm not going to sit there and try to see how I'm going to respond. It's like, okay. See what I did? That's my new thing now. I taught y'all to double tap. When y'all like, people just keep talking like, okay, that's enough. Now I'm gonna teach y'all the second one. And don't do this on me, because my daughter does it on me now. I don't like that. Then it's like, okay. Don't do it on me. So Paul's saying, I take pleasure in my feebleness, my frailty, my weakness, my sickness or disease. I take pleasure in reproach, when I'm reproached, when I'm put down. in necessities. Whatever I need to do, I got to do it. Leadership calls me to lead. No matter what. Telling people the truth, no matter what. In persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, that lesson is yours. As I studied this lesson, I had to look deeply. And I pray that you do the same. Ask yourself, don't ask anybody else, what do I complain? What do I worry about? Be anxious in nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians chapter 4. What do you complain about? What do you worry about? If you're worried about money, then just work. Don't spend as much. You're worried about your physical health, then pay attention. Get a checkup. See what's going on. Make adjustments. Whatever it is, some things we don't control. Father, time is undefeated, as they say. I don't run as fast as I used to. I wish some young guy come challenge me. Back in the day, let somebody challenge me, Harry. I'm like, let's go. If Lyman Baker challenged me in the parking lot, I may try to get Lyman, but just today. But let Lenny try to race me. I'm like, go ahead, young buck. Go on. Go ahead. Fool, I gotta use wisdom. I'm sorry, Lyman, but I would race you today. Just challenge me. But my point is, we have to use some wisdom. We can't do things like we used to. Accept it. Don't complain about it. Lord, here we are, but I can still teach somebody the gospel. I can still be an example for others. I may not be able to do all the things I want to do, but I will glory in God. So if you're here today, choose how you want to suffer. Door number one, I'm going to call that door two. Door number two, the devil's like, oh, he's got a backup plan for you. God's got one and only plan. You can go hang out with the devil, not obey the gospel, or you can say, Lord, I want to be in that one place of salvation. The one God and Father who sent his one son, who died one time, who's coming back. The only two you're going to get in this story, who's coming back a second time and only a second time to get his bride, the church that belongs to Christ. That's why it's the church of Christ. The church belongs to Christ. It is not a denomination. The church belongs to Christ, and she behaves a certain way. You will know. Amen. How will you know? And whenever you see, for the benefit of our new babes in Christ, you see something made on the web or anywhere else that says Church of Christ, just look a little deeper. Because there's people who can use all kinds of names. So it's not just a name. It's the name and the behavior. It's a designation. And there's also the designation means how was she designed? That's why it's called designation, the name for which it was designed. Church of Christ belongs to Christ. You see someone else saying, I'm the founder. That's not Christ's church. That's somebody using a name. That's like some, I'm sure no one here has ever watched a bootleg movie. It's funny. Let me move on. So you ain't got the real thing. You got a byproduct. Amen. Unauthorized. Got all these warning signs. You fast forward through that part. And people fast forward through the Bible. Pick and choose what they want. There's only one church. And the Bible lets us know in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, we got to do the Father's will. We have to do the Father's will. If not, we'll hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We must do what he said. Luke 6 and 46. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, do not the things that I say. The scriptures are on the screen for your reference. I'm paraphrasing for time's sake. We must believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe he shed his blood, purchased the Lord's church, the body, the church of Christ? And you must, once you've heard and believe that, you must repent of your sins. Jesus says in Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And once you've heard and believed it and you've changed your mind, are you willing to confess Christ to be the Son of God? Jesus says in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, paraphrasing, if you don't confess me, I will not confess you. You deny me, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And you must be baptized. You must go to the water. Baptism washes away your sins. The big ones, all your sins. Amen, saints. So why do you need to be baptized? Today, if you are not a child of God, you're choosing to suffer outside of Christ. And you're going to go to judgment outside of Christ. And it's not to scare you, it's just to teach you.
But when you choose to suffer as a Christian, you must first become a Christian. Baptism washes away your sins. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go into all nations, teach the gospel. Teach the gospel to all nations. Mark 16, 15, 16, preach the gospel to the whole world. There's no black church, white church, just the church of Christ for all the world to be saved. So if you're here this morning, I hope you recognize there's power in the blood. Thank God for the opportunity, the privilege to suffer as a child of God. I pray that when you leave this place today as a result of this lesson and in God's faithfulness to us, that we look at suffering a whole lot different now. Glory, because you can get through to get to. If you need to respond in any way, please come right now as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement. Won't you come?